Very cool.
Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Well, well, well. Good evening, folks. Welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Network. I am your host, M.H. Scott. And as I want to try to promise you that we're going to have another wonderful show. It's been a minute since I had an opportunity to come on and share some information with you. But as time go on, just know that I'm still here with you one way or the other. Well, you know, a number of things have happened since the last time we've had a chance to come on the air and just really share some information with you and really get the word out to our listening audience. You know, I've even had the opportunity to share some information with folks from back home earlier in the week as I had the opportunity to be on a local show back in Connecticut. But that's not what I come on to talk about today. I come on to talk about a topic that has caught my attention. And it has really and truly caught my attention due to the simple fact that it was something that I came across that I was studying. And studying, how can I put this? It piqued my curiosity. You know, and it's funny because I just had the same conversation with my youngest son just today, who is working on his degree in sports management. And in one of his classes, he had the opportunity to come across a similar subject. What am I talking about, folks? I'm talking about Title IX. And although I'm not going to go into great detail about Title IX, but for those of you who know what Title IX is and why was Title IX even initiated, you know, Title IX was initiated back in 1972. You know, I just shared with some classmates of mine that it's funny that I remember that time period when Title IX was initiated. And we had a junior high school or middle school or elementary school or whatever grade level it was at that time, sports program going on for the boys, but nothing really going on for the girls. But the minute Title IX was implemented, all of a sudden, they wanted to bring the young ladies into the fold. And in doing so, you know, they tried to figure out how many young ladies had athletic ability and how many young ladies would be interested in playing sports. And as a result, they went out and tried to put together a number of teams. Well, folks, in my humble opinion, you know, I think that had a lot to do with them realizing that if we comply with Title IX, then there's a great possibility that we could draw in some federal funding, some additional funding for the number of programs that we bring up. So whether or not the girls was really and truly interested in playing sports, they created teams so that they would say, hey, we have a team, and now, hey, where's our money? Well, let's fast forward a few years. You know, Title IX has really been challenged, and you hear some of the controversy that's out there. Hear some of the complaints, hear some of the moans, groans, and all these other things that go along behind it. I honestly believe, in my, again, my opinion, and that's all what it is, but when you call in, you can voice your opinion. But I honestly believe that, hey, if the young ladies want to play sports, then let them play sports. I've yet to figure out to this day why would they initially exclude it from it. And I think that that was such a huge disadvantage to them to be excluded from playing sports. So, on that note, I said we fast forward. And then fast forward, you know, you have a lot of questions that have come up here in the recent years on whether or not programs or male programs are going to be discontinued because of the fact that a lack of compliance Title IX arena. And that lack of compliance is simply just saying that, you know, a lot of schools can't afford to maintain the budgets for both programs, both male and female programs. So if they can't maintain the budgets for both male and female program and the female program goes away, then there's folks out there that are screaming and shouting and tap dancing and everything else to simply say, hey, then the male program should go away. Well, again, you know as well as I know, if this is really and truly the case, the amount of revenue that many of these schools will lose simply due to a sports program going away. Now, when we're talking about the non-revenue sports, the sports that is not bringing in any major revenue and they're solely depending on federal funding, okay, well, if that's the case, then those schools may be able to drop down to a club-type atmosphere and still continue to compete, where you would have some type of private and public integration where you have may have a private entity that would step in and fill the gap. Now, interscholastic sports at the high school level, we're not talking about intercollegiate, interscholastic. We're talking about at the high school and middle school level. Well, if you have that happen, if you have a private entity to step in and take over a sports program, then that private entity will have the option of deciding whether or not your child will be able to participate. Because if your child is not that likable child, if your child is not athletically gifted, private entity may have the option of not even allow your child to become a member of that club. Well, folks, that's something that we really and truly need to look at. That's something that really needs to be assessed by us as parents. That's not something that we could just simply sit back and allow to happen, and we have no voice in the conversation. That's something that really and truly needs to be addressed by us as parents. Democrats, there are so many things that we need to make sure that our voice are heard on. Take for granted that we overlook, you know, but just here recently, I watched a parent as he became highly upset because he felt as though that his son's coach didn't do enough to help him, help his son get a college scholarship. As a result, he had to do some legwork. He had to drive his son around. He had to help his son do some of the things that we talk about on a regular basis here in the Parents Coach and Parents Network. Fill out letters, shoot out emails, do follow-ups, drive him down to different camps and clinics so that he or she, whoever, can get that exposure. The dad was upset because he had to do these things. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's your responsibility. That's part of your job as being that parent. Many of you may not agree with me, but it is what it is. I'm only telling you from a firsthand experience, a very strong firsthand experience. Is it that high school coach's responsibility? Is it that AAU coach's responsibility? Is it that showcase coach or select coach's responsibility? No, it's not. You can't give up your responsibility just because you are lacking the knowledge to assist your child. I understand bringing in someone to help you or guide you. Guide you, keyword there. But to simply say, coach should have done more. No, not that coach's responsibility. You maintain the responsibility and in guidance and care and nurturing for the last 16, 17, 18 years. Why are you going to step back now? Getting back into the conversation of interscholastic sports. Parents, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to make sure that those sports our children are involved in maintain a high level of professionalism. We have a responsibility to make sure that if our child is having a good time and he or she desires to try to play at the next level, then we should do everything within our power to assist them in getting there. If that requires you to drive a few hours up the road, down the road, whatever the case may be, to a different showcase, camp, clinic, evaluation event, then guess what? You got to buckle up, folks. Buckle up. Click it or ticket. Get your child there so that he or she can get that exposure so he or she can possibly be seen and evaluated for the opportunity of an athletic scholarship. Because if you don't get that exposure, then there's no one else's fault but yours. That's why I brought up the topic collegiate sports. Excuse me, interscholastic sports. Folks, you're looking at what's going on in sports today at the high school level and at the middle school level. Some programs are still thriving. Some programs are barely hanging on. To let you know, and you're going to hear it here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network, if you haven't heard it anywhere else, of football, youth football, has drawn a lot of attention over the last few years. It's really being considered at a level way above you and I's pay grade individually to say whether or not they're going to allow to continue school and middle school football. Because they're really and truly worried and concerned about CTE. You know, that deadly disease that apparently has totally plagued the NFL. And a number of athletes are being diagnosed to have had or have, well, have had. And the only way they're able to find out is after that individual passes on and his brain is dissected and examined. But I believe there's quite a few more that have experienced it and have had symptoms and related illnesses to CTE. You know, and all the drama that many of these young men have experienced over the years with this, and I'm not trying to give anyone this, domestic violence, this total rage, you know, run around here acting crazy, run around here with body armor in your car with multiple guns and all that kind of stuff. And think about the pounding that these young men take. Now, I'm hoping that Aaron Hernandez's family donated his brain to a research center to check and see if he had CTE. Now, what would happen if it comes back and says that he did have CTE? What would happen? How would that whole situation play out if it came back and said Aaron Hernandez had CTE, O.J. Simpson had CTE, and many others? Well, folks, I throw that out there because, like I said a second ago, the conversation has come up whether or not contact football is going to be played at the middle school level. They want to eliminate contact football at the middle school level and finally introduce it to kids in the latter part of their years, like in their junior year, senior year, anything prior to that, playing like a 7-on-7, no contact, and then adding contact in there in their junior, senior year in high school. That has been the conversation. I've had my ear to the ground and have listened to a number of sports talk shows, read a few things in Sports Business Digest and a few other articles that's out there. And, you know, just listening to folks in general and various conversations. And there has been some serious question on whether or not they were going to continue with contact football at the middle school level. Now, mind you, again, we're talking about a revenue issue. We're talking about a revenue issue because if they do away with contact football at all levels below your respective junior year in high school, programs such as AFL, Pop Warner, and some of these other programs that's out here, would they go away? Would they create 7-on-7 leagues? You know, I could see the benefit of it because it would force coaches to be more skill development trained and be able to teach skill development prior to the contact. But would it change the game overall? I believe so. I believe so. You're listening to the Periscope Paris Network here on Blog Talk Radio. You want to join in on the conversation, you can always reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Join in on the conversation. Love to hear from you. If you can't get through, keep trying. If I see that you're interested in joining in on the conversation and I'm still not able to get you through, then if we're at that personal level, then shoot me an email, shoot me a text or something, simply letting me know that, hey, you're trying to get in on the conversation and we're not picking up. Because I want to hear your thoughts on this particular subject. I think it is very important for parents to chime in on what they think. And it's interesting that I just got a message that came in from a coach Kavanaugh with the All-American Football Camp. He wants to invite you to our camp June 11th at Georgetown. Coach, I'm a little bit too old to be joining in on the football camp, but if you're asking me to come up and speak to a group of kids, then I'll be more than happy to do that. But I want to send this coach back a message and find out. But I noticed he wasn't able to send me a message from his phone. He sent me from some phone number of 797979, which that's one of those numbers, you know, like Tom Joyner's show or something like that. I forgot exactly what you call that number. But it's one of those type numbers. But anyway, getting back to what we was talking about. Folks, you know, we as parents and we have children as athletes, we have a huge responsibility to step up and make sure that every aspect of the game, of the program that our child is involved in, our child is getting the most out of it. You know, if there's going to be a conversation on whether or not contact football should still be in play or whether or not it should be done away with, then I think we should be in on the conversation. I think there should be a poll done or some type of assessment done or something done to simply say, hey, and I want to make Parents Coaching Parents Network a vehicle in which parents have a voice. Parents, there's other things that we have a voice in. And I think a lot of it starts at the scholastic levels. These violations that we see at the college level that our kids get caught up in. Okay, our kids just didn't wake up one day and all of a sudden now he or she wants to do something that's questionable. These are things that they probably could have learned, or I know you took the time to instill in them at their high school level and during their high school interaction time, whereas when these NCAA violations came about, they could have all been avoided. And then in some cases, some of these NCAA violations are, to me, to be honest with you, quite bogus. You know, if a child receives a pack of Skittles from somebody that's considered a booster, that could be a violation. A pack of Skittles? Really? That's a pick and choose situation. You got schools out here, institutions out here that's offering fictitious classes. You know, having our children enrolled in classes that they're not even required to attend, but you still have a number of coaches that's still in their position, still making their $1 million a year. parents, is that a situation where we need to speak up on? Now, you know, I understand that many times we may question that and say, well, I want my child to go to, and why, you know, my child stay at this school, he may have a good chance to make it to, you know, the professional ranks. Okay, if your child is talented, he may have the opportunity to make it to the professional ranks. It's not what school he's at. It's his level of talent that speaks for itself. You know, if your child's playing, he's playing. You know, once he comes out of high school and he's 1 year removed from high school, then he's eligible to try out for professional level of basketball. He's eligible to try out for the professional level of basketball. And 3 years out of high school before he's able to try out for the professional level of football. Conversation that we as parents should be able to let folks know where our thoughts are. Let folks know how we feel about that particular subject. That's not something that we just simply sit back and have a blind eye to, or simply sit back and just go with the flow because we don't want to interrupt nobody. We simply let folks know violations. What's the current situation or what's the status of interscholastic sports? Are they being questioned? Is there a question even on the table? Because of the simple fact that there's a major non-compliance with interscholastic sports in reference to Title IX. Those conversations need to be brought to the table. We shouldn't be the last ones to find out that, okay, sports at our children's school is going away, and then all of a sudden some private club comes up, starts their own team, and that's the team that's going to represent the school, and then half our children can't get on the program or aren't members or haven't paid the membership fees or the dues or whatever. So as a result, now they are unable to play. I could see that becoming very lopsided if it ever go into existence. I could see that becoming a very lopsided situation as far as our kids are concerned. So again, parents, our responsibility as parents of athletes is to ensure that situation doesn't grow feet, doesn't form a foundation, a stable foundation, to disrupt the program that our children are currently a part of. That's not something that we could sit back and let happen. We can't disrupt the public programs to create a series of private programs, because once we get to these private programs have a tendency to exclude certain kids. You know, they use the term of at-risk community kids. You know, those kids have the same potential and the same athletic ability and the same opportunity as everybody else. But to exclude them because they're not making a grade or they don't have, you don't want them as a part of your program, I don't see that as being fair. I don't see that as being fair. So let's have some conversation on interscholastic programs. Let's have some conversation on where is our voice and whether or not interscholastic programs are where they are, and we're a part of what's going on. Give me a call at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. You listen to M.H. Scott here on the Paris Culture Paris Network on Blog Talk Radio. I was trying to see if I can, seems like I'm having a little difficulty getting to my switchboard, but I was going to pull my switchboard up and play a little bit of my infomercial. Sorry for the long period of silence there, folks. I'm seeing we're having some difficulty here. 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. We'd love to hear from you here on Blog Talk Radio, Parents Culture Parents Network. We're here just to provide you with some information and just to get you thinking a little bit, just to get you thinking a little bit. You know, in the recent show that I had the opportunity to do WNHH, you can find them at WNHH.org and check out the show, or I believe it's called SoundCloud. Check out the show that was done on WNHH, the great host, Miss Michelle Turner, out of New Haven, Connecticut. And in doing that show, I shared some information with the listening audience that I thought was very enlightening. You know, but we talked about a lot of things. We talked about some really good things, and even talked about current situation with the Ball family, and I'm not going to go too deep into that. That's not a topic that I really and truly care to entertain. You know, that dad is handling things the way he sees fit, and you know, and that's what he really and truly wants to do. So as a result, hey, so be it. You know, that's the way he wants to govern and help his sons move forward. Hey, do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. If that's the way you see it, that's the way you see it. But one thing I do say, parents, he's showing you the ability to step up and speak out. He's showing you that there is no need to hold back, say what you have to say, because you got to realize something. At the end of the day, they want your child. If a school is recruiting your child, they want your child in their program. Talking at the high school level, we're talking at the college level, and everything thereafter is great. Give us a call at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. I'm going to see you mess around here and see what's going on with the switchboard. And I'm just going to play a little something for you while I try to check out, find out what's going on with my switchboard, because I really and truly want to answer a few of these calls here. We have a few folks that's on the line with us. I want to be able to answer a few of these calls. So, bear with me, folks. Apologize. This is my first time back on the air in a minute, but I'm not going to use that as an excuse. I'm just going to keep on moving forward. And that's just how we're going to make this happen. Again, 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. You want to join in on the conversation? That's how you can reach us this evening. there on the Parish Coast and Parish Network and on Blog Talk Radio. Trying to get you this call, area code 203. Welcome to the Parish Coast and Parish Network. Hello, area code 203. Area code 203-562. Welcome to the Parents Coach Parents Network. Come on now, folks. It looks like I got you plugged in. Hopefully it's not somebody that's just listening and don't want to chime in on the conversation. Don't worry about it. I thought I seen your hand up, so I was trying to come to you. Area code 718. Welcome to the Parents Coach and Parents Network. Good evening. Area code 718. Welcome to the Parents Coach and Parents Network. Good evening. Okay. Either I'm having difficulty working my own switchboard or folks are listening, but don't necessarily want to speak up. Hello? Area code 718. Welcome to the Parish Coach and Parish Network. Okay, I think I got somebody on with us. Area code 203-507. Welcome to the Parents Coach and Parents Network.
Hello.
Yes, good evening.
How are you?
I'm fine. Did you have a question?
Yes, I was. The CTE, I was a little interested in, you know, not really knowing much about it, but athletes in the midst of playing the games and getting their heads hit and some type of brain disease. I wanted to know a little bit more about that.
Well, I'm not claiming to have any type of medical background, but mainly what I've learned about it, and a lot of it had to do with the much-viewed show that recently came out that Will Smith was in. It's supposed to be a severe brain disease that can only be detected by diagnosing the brain itself. Causes a lot of instability in the life, where, you know, you think that you're borderline crazy and you have some very unsafe thoughts with yourself, and you can't control, you know, a lot of things that's going on with your mind. You know, you're very schizophrenic type attitude. That's what I've gathered from it thus far.
Okay, because I did look it up, you know, I Googled it just to see, and it was pretty much concise to what you just said in terms of, like, you know, people playing ball, heads getting hit, and those injuries may even lay dormant, you know. Me too, I don't have a medical background, but it may lay dormant until down the road, and people may start experiencing different type of problems.
Exactly, and you know, like the examples that I threw out there of, I use Aaron Hernandez, you know, the recent young man that was, you know, that died, and I even use OJ. You know, something drove those individuals to do what they did, especially if they had no real long-term history of that type of character, you know.
Right.
So, you know, something drove in. And you got to think about it. That constant pounding. And then, you know, you're experiencing something like that. And as a result, you have no way to be treated for it because they don't even know that you have it.
Right.
So in the end, you know, what do you do? What do you do? So that's the scare.
Right.
That's part of the scare that's out there now to look at whether or not they will discontinue high school football. Because
right.
if you
so
think about
only at
average,
the high school level?
Well, and that's what I was going to say. If you think about the average high school kid that's probably deeply involved in football, probably have been playing since he was about 5 or 6 years old.
Right.
So if you're playing at the age of 5 or 6, here you are 17 or 18, you've been playing better part of your life the game of football.
Right.
You know, more than half of your life constantly
right.
banging and hitting and pounding. You know, so what would happen to a young man that would go into a situation like that, that would experience CTE at a young age? You know, and then
right.
he or she decided to stop, not she, but he decided to stop because he had, you know, 1 or 2 minute concussion. Then they're
right.
no longer going to play football. And then you wonder 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years later or 20 years later, you know, he just has this real bad experience and decides to just totally go off.
Right.
So I think that, you know, the introduction of CTE was a huge for
mm-hmm.
many folks. And now the evaluation of whether or not they're going to have middle school, Pop Warner, rec league football continue, knowing that there's still that constant physical contact on the body and mainly on the brain.
Right.
You know, and I advise parents all the time, do you really want to have your 5, 6, and 7-year-old out there playing heavy contact sports? Question to them is, you know, you're out there, you're playing this heavy contact sport. Okay, say they may not get hit in the head, but they may get hit in one of their limbs, whether or not it's on the knee, whether or not it's
right.
on the elbow, whatever
right.
the case is. As a result, it hits one of their growth plates. Now, you got the child that his body ain't grown the way it should grow because that bone has been bang, 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 and banged up so many times that, you know, the child's not growing the way he or she he should normally grow, or he's experiencing
right.
severe problems. Bones are too weak, or, you know, they have a heavy deficiency or built up
right.
calcium around that particular area that's been hit and hit and hit. So now the bone is grown and it looks like it's deformed or something like that. At 5, 6, 7 years old, they have a whole lot more developing to do in their body. Their bones
right.
aren't as well, their bones aren't as sturdy as you and I.
Right.
You know, they're still.
But I started
quite
my
fragile.
Son out with Pop Warner as well back then.
And well, you got to really think about it. Kids nowadays
yeah.
don't take in a whole lot of calcium, vitamin
That's
D.
That's true. That's true.
You know, they rather drink Gatorade and a soda before they drink some milk.
This is true.
So, you know, that's another one of those questions that can haunt us later on. But I thank you for calling
right.
in.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you taking the time to call in and share your views and, you know, ask a question. I see a few more folks that's hanging on the line that don't want to speak up. Well, I understand that too. But thank
okay.
you for your
well,
support.
I'll always
yes,
welcome.
As always.
Bye.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Well, you know, that was a parent, and the parent just actually said, hey, you know, she remember doing that very same thing herself. When her son was involved in Pop Warner football at the age of 5, you know, but we don't think about that. And now it's become an altogether different dynamic where, sad to say, too many of us, and I say us because I include myself in the parent group, too many of us are trying to live our lives vicariously through our children or trying to see if our children are going to reach that big professional payday. Well, folks, let me say this. If your child reaches it, he or she reaches it. That's not for you. That's their life. I understand you carried them for, you know, 9 months. I understand that you was there when their nose was running and all this old kind of stuff. I understand that. But at the same time, folks, we have to, okay, I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. Hold on a second. I think my last caller may not have hung up, or I may still have my last caller on the line with us. Let me check my switchboard here.